Good morning. Looks like we have a very fine number this morning. We've been averaging up in the 90s most of the year. If all of you will come next week, we just need a few more. We'll start in the hundreds. I don't know what's going to happen, but personally, I would like to see us about January, about 110. Wouldn't take too many more, would it? But we're glad you're here. We have visitors, some perhaps traveling, some in the community. I hope you're glad you're here, because we know that it pleases God when we worship Him. When we do worship God, we honor God. We give Him thanks and praise for who He is. He's perfect in every way. We're to be like Him, but all of us fall short, don't we? And that's why Jesus came down from heaven, because we're just not good enough. But He was and is. So we're glad you're here and hope you come back this evening. We're going to entitle the lesson, Wisdom for the New Year. And many years I've talked about this subject. In December and January, I like to talk about wisdom and various resolutions that are found in the Bible. And I just feel like it's this type of information we don't always preach on during the year, but as we're about to enter into a new year, it's good to think about it, isn't it? And then we're about to close out a year. Does anybody think this year went by fast? You younger people, you let me know if you thought it went by fast. I don't have to ask the older ones. They're going like this. They know. They go by swiftly. So we're glad you're here. You study the subject of wisdom. Very, very important subject, but you don't hear too many lessons on it, do you? I preached in a gospel meeting. I believe it was at C Street down in Elizabethton a few years ago. And I preached a sermon on wisdom. And I never will forget that afterwards, a man came up afterwards and was all excited. And he said, for the rest of my life, I'm going to try to be seeking wisdom. I don't think I had any reaction quite like that. But it made an imprint on his mind. It'll make an imprint on your mind if you want it to be there. Especially our young people. Now, it's true that all of us, even older folks, we use our minds, and the more you use it, the stronger it is. The more you use it, just like exercise, the more you exercise your mind. But I found out, whether you're young or old or in between, that if you really focus and pay attention, that you can gain and learn about wisdom. And especially in the Bible, because wisdom is used every day, hopefully, by about everybody. Think about it. What do you do that wisdom will not help you in? You probably drove here today, some of you young ones. You traveled because you don't have a license yet. But those that are driving, you drove here today, or somebody drove you here. It takes wisdom to properly drive, right? We've got a host of folks here that went to the doctor last week, going to the doctor this week, going to the doctor about every week. Did you have any wisdom at all about which doctor you go to? Would you just go to any dentist? I remember one time I went to a man, and I know he wasn't a dentist. There's no way that man was trained. I went right off the bat, he wasn't doing anything that every dentist always did. And he's the only one in my life that did the one same tooth three times in one day. Three times. This is true. I told my wife, that man may have a certificate, but he's not a dentist. You don't just go to anybody. Some of you mow yards. Maybe you mow your own yard. Isn't there a wise way to do that? No matter what, you just name it, what it is. Cooking. Does it take wisdom to cook? I hope everybody had a lot of wisdom here. Thanksgiving. I think wisdom at Thanksgiving is to eat about what you can, right? But you just name the area, your car, whatever, your friends, your associations, with your husband, wife, children, grandchildren. Wisdom is involved in about everything we do. Now, that's in the broad sense. In the most kind of focused sense, in reference to God, there is a wisdom that the Bible talks about that we must have to go to heaven. The book of Proverbs is a, I would call a very profound and beautiful book on the subject of wisdom. 31 chapters. And you don't get too old to read the book of Proverbs, but really it's got so much in it that you're just going to have to take your time and study it. It would be good to just take a chapter and read it all week. Then next week, read it all week. But I would encourage you to study from the book. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. For Bible students and those that study the book, that's considered the model of the M-O-T-T-O of the book of Proverbs. That's the theme of the book overall. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, knowledge here is talking about that's when you really know something. That's when you really are in touch with reality. Correct? That's what we mean by knowledge. We're talking about reality, the way things really are. And if you don't have a proper reverence and fear for God, you're not in touch with reality. You have not even begun to have wisdom if you do not have a reverence for the Creator, the Maker, and our Sustainer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, it's the beginning of wisdom. Very often, and wisdom can have a very broad definition, depends on what subject you're talking about. We've mentioned a few areas. But in reference to God, it is this reverence for God Almighty and for holy things like the Bible. The Bible is the only holy book that there is. Now, the world doesn't like that. You can't say that. We've got the Quran. We've got all these other books and all kinds of holy books and all these other religions, and they're all holy. No, there's only one God, and there's only one true religion, and there's only one Savior. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, that's what they call dogmatism, but the Bible would call it wisdom. Now, he says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about this for a little bit. Wisdom is out there. Read Proverbs chapter 1. It's like out there on the streets. It's like you walk out the door, wisdom is crying, please listen to me. Please gain wisdom. Here I am, listen to the instruction of wisdom. And people snub their nose to it. I don't need that. I'm going to do whatever I want. And people do that every single day. I'm going to do whatever I want. You can do that down here for a while. You can snub your nose to God. You can deny God. You can be ignorant of God. You can live any way you want down here, and especially in the United States of America. But you're going to someday answer for it on the final day. And, of course, if you don't have wisdom, you're going to suffer in this life. A fool despises wisdom. He doesn't care to be wisdom. I don't need instruction. I don't need. He looks down with contempt upon the things that are wise and instruction. You know, the Bible is given to us to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness. We read about this, 2 Timothy 3:16. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have the book of Proverbs. That's why we have the book of Job. That's why we have the book of Genesis. That's why we have the whole Bible, the New Testament as well. But fools don't care. They despise it. I don't need instruction. Don't teach me. In Proverbs 4:7, we have a statement by Solomon who, there are three writers of the book of Proverbs, but most of all of it was written by Solomon. But there are three writers mentioned. And Solomon was actually referring to what he had been taught by his father. If you didn't know it, his father was David, King David. So David taught him. Now, I've heard people criticize David. He was a bad father because he had some bad sons. I know a lot of good fathers with bad sons or daughters. you're going to be a good father and a good mother. And then the children, when they grow up, it's up to them. They become adults. They can be taught in the way of righteousness, but it's up to them. But here's what he was taught by David. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So this is what David was taught. And you know, he applied that, didn't he? You remember that Solomon offered 1,000 sacrifices to God? And God was so pleased with Solomon that he told him, what do you want, Solomon? He didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't even ask to defeat his enemies. He asked for an understanding heart to rule God's people, or wisdom. So he applied that. And unfortunately, he abandoned that, just like we said. He abandoned that later. 700 wives, 300 concubines, got involved in idolatry. But he says, in his right mind, wisdom is the principal thing. This is what you really need. And it is what you really need. You want to have a happy new year? Try it without wisdom. I wouldn't want to live a day without it. I don't claim to be overly wise, but we've got the scriptures, and the closer you stay with God's word, the more wisdom you're going to have. I didn't mention wisdom in the home. Look at the homes that we have and what's happening in the United States of America. You think people are practicing wisdom as is taught in the Bible? They are not. Now he says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. You ever get anything this past week? Huh? Some of y'all went to the grocery store. If you ate, somebody probably went to the store, probably like us, several times, right? Go back here, oh, I forgot something, I left my list at home. When you get something, you do something. Tell me what you get if you don't do something. You have to get wisdom, you've got to do something, and the main thing is to be looking for it. I look across this congregation, and young people, I ain't not taken away because a young person, the Bible teaches in Proverbs, if you seek it early, you'll find it. Young people can be wise, but the older you live, the wiser you should be, right? Because a lot of wisdom comes from experience. A lot of wisdom comes from observation. And when people that are younger, if they despise that, they're going to get in trouble. There's nobody going to make you listen that I know of. Even the lawbreakers, they break the law, they don't listen. They go to jail, and they get out, they still don't listen. And that's not everybody. There are many that are taught that change, even become Christians, and they listen. So you have to get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. You have in the book of Proverbs, as well as throughout the Bible, a relationship between knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And probably in a kind of a fundamental way, we've said knowledge is that which is real. God is, we know God, He's real. We know the Savior. We know His Word. We know there's a sun in the sky, the moon and the stars. That's knowledge. And then there's understanding, to understand those things. So people study the sun, they study the stars, they study the moon and the whole universe physically. You study the Bible. That gives you understanding. I can just say the Greek word carries the ideal of kind of putting things together. In other words, if you understand algebra, you study it, and then you start figuring out, hey, I can do these problems. That might hit some of us, right? But you say, I can do these problems. And you study English or whatever the subject is, you can get an understanding. Many times people say, and this is one of the broad definitions of wisdom, it's the right use of knowledge. There are people who have a lot of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom, right? I don't think you can have wisdom without knowledge and without understanding, but there are people, they got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11, excuse me, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I've read about what it was like somewhat back in Solomon's day. Not detailed, but I want you to think about how hard it is to mine ore. Have you ever been in a coal mine? I preached three gospel meetings, or what's sometimes called revivals, in Eastern Kentucky, Pikeville. And there are a lot of coal miners there. One of the members took me inside that coal mine. That gave me appreciation for some hard, courageous work. That's hard. But can you imagine what it was like back in Solomon's day? And how hard it was for them to dig that ore and to find precious jewels and precious stones. Can you imagine how much labor went into that and the sacrifice that was involved? And yet he says, wisdom is better than rubies. Do you really believe that? What if I say wisdom is better than money? How if I say wisdom is better than cold cash? Actually, if you got wisdom, you can make money. I get tired. I mean, you're probably different. I don't know. It's up to you. But I get tired of everybody making fun of the rich and all being envious of the rich and that. Because I know too many people that started off with nothing, and they just work hard every day, and they're smart enough to save money, smart enough to use money, and then they hire people, and they help other people have jobs, and then they grow up, and they get bigger, and they get more jobs. And I'm supposed to hate those people? That's a lie of the devil. Now, yes, there are rich people that are no good. There's poor people that are no good in the sense of they're not living right, but the Lord died for them. So they are good for that. He died for them. Wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So he says, young people, get wisdom. And one of the best places is the older people, you know, generally. I'm certain there's some old fools out there, but generally the older people have been around. They've gone through these things, and they're trying to tell you so you're going to have a good life. But you just say, don't listen. You don't have to listen. Let us grow in knowledge. This is a point that I want to mention at this time. These things that I've mentioned are introductory to show you the value of wisdom. Take any one of those and put it in your mind in Proverbs. First chapter, chapter 1, verse 7. Everybody knows 7 is the most commonly used number in the Bible. And everybody knows that's a number of perfection or completeness. So you can remember that. Proverbs chapter 1 is the first of the book. So now you know where it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Grow in knowledge. Some people don't care. They're not concerned about knowledge. When I was in grade school, I enjoyed learning. My sister, I had an older sister that died of cancer a good many years ago. She taught me pretty much the alphabet and how to count pretty far. I don't remember how. I'd say at least to 50. And taught me how to tie my shoes. Taught me a lot of things when I was very young. But I always liked learning. I wasn't the smartest guy, but I always liked learning. I hope you like learning. Hope you like knowledge, because it's helpful, isn't it? Proverbs 10 and 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Now, probably most of us have a pantry, a place where you keep your food, canned food or whatever, dry goods. It may just be in a cabinet, or you may have shelves, or maybe might have a room. Some people have a whole room, and they go in there, and there's your pantry. But you lay things up. You try to have something for the next day, something if something happens. You try to have some food, right? That would be a wise thing. Wise men lay up knowledge. They are concerned. What about your health? If you have a health problem, Do you do any kind of research? I mean, you find out you've got a liver problem. Wouldn't you want to know about your liver? You find out you've got heart failure. Wouldn't you want to know about that and how that you can do something so you can live longer? That's wisdom. You've got to lay up that knowledge. I mean, some people don't do it. They don't care. But if you want to live longer, have wisdom. It may be you die because of an accident or whatever, but I'm talking about the general rule is wisdom is going to give you a better life, a longer life, but you've got to get it. G-E-T. He said, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Because if a fool can't control his mouth, then he's going to be destroyed. 2 Timothy 2:15 is in the New Testament. It was written, Paul wrote it to Timothy, has called his son in the faith. He had taught him the gospel. He wasn't married, never had a regular physical son, but Timothy was his son. And he wrote him, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know that was written to a preacher, but you know, it would apply to everyone in the sense that all of us are commanded to give diligence and to study the Bible. How can you be a Christian if you don't study God's word? How could you maintain faith? How could you be strong spiritually when the book itself tells you that you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But oh no, I got to work on this stuff here. I got to see all these pictures on the phone, the computer. I got to do all this. I can't do this for how many hours? How many hours? Do you read the New Testament this week? No, but I tell you what, I saw a whole lot of it. You did a whole lot of this stuff, but what do you do in the Bible? Well, how have you grown spiritually by doing all of that? I'm not against computers, telephones, iPads. I'm not against that. But somewhere you better put the Bible in there if you won't go to heaven. The people, you can despise it. You don't have to read it. I would say if you want to make a resolution, right, there's a good one. Study to show thyself approved unto God. God approves of it. Christians do that. Christians want to please God. If you're a non-Christian, you need to want to please God. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I studied the Bible. It's work. It's effort. I can just tell you that, you know, if you use your mind, you will get tired. You will get tired. Just like when you're working physically. But you do it. And I encourage you to study the Bible, rightly dividing. It means to cut and to cut straight. You know, I've heard illustrations before of maybe somebody's got some food and they're going to split it. All right? It's nice if you could be fair with it and cut it just exactly right. I've been thinking about this, rightly dividing it, cutting it straight, handling it aright. I think if you had to summarize it in one word, it would be, you need to be careful in studying the Bible. It's not like an ordinary book. You need to be careful and study it very, very diligently and very carefully. Then in Proverbs 12 and 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. We could have a whole sermon on this verse. Any of these verses, as far as I'm concerned. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Well, we're being instructed now. It might be another preacher up here. Someday there will be. We don't live forever down here. At other times, other preachers come. And what's important is that the instruction come from the book. It needs to come from the book. The instruction needs to come from the book. And whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. You've already memorized Proverbs 1:7. Maybe you don't have the words memorized, but I told you, chapter 1, how can you miss that? Proverbs, book of wisdom. And I told you, verse 7, how can you miss that? So you go home this evening, I don't think you can forget that. You have to work at it, okay? Work at it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here he says, he that hateth reproof is brutish. I don't always get time to do this, but it's a good thing to do, and you can do it. Just in the English, look up these words. Reproof generally means to show someone his faults. Usually we don't like that. Someone says, even when it's done in a nice way, right? A nice way, then we don't like it too much. But he said, you know, if you hate young people, especially your mom, your dad, your grandfather, grandmother, trying to tell you something and you hate that and you don't listen to that, Not too good. He said, he that hateth reproof is brutish. I looked that up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is one I recommend. You can get it on your phone, computer, iPad. So you can buy one for about $50, okay? Plus shipping. And I looked this word brutish up. You know what translation that is? A dumb animal. Huh? We've got dogs on our street. I have a little dog now. I'm going to tell you, I know you shouldn't brag about your dog, right? But I have a smart dog. Smart dog. And right around the corner, there's a dumb dog, okay? All it does, bark day and night, bark day and night. It's not got, you could give it a turkey dinner, it'd still bark at you, okay? That's what he's saying. You're just a brute. You're like a dumb animal if you don't listen to wisdom and reproof. I don't care who you are. Dumb animal. Proverbs 13 and 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. He says, what I'm talking about, you've got to get knowledge. Study about the different things. Isn't it good to have a knowledge of about everything? How about mechanics? You ladies, you have cars. Maybe some of you aren't married. Maybe some of you have lost your loved ones. But we have a lot. We have widows here. Every congregation has widows. Well, you need to know something about your car. And what you need to know is you got to change that oil, right? You got to change that oil. So it's good to have a knowledge of these things. You may not be a mechanic, but you get some basic knowledge. I'd say it's good to have some knowledge of electricity, right? It's good to have it. I used to do it every day, but it's good to have some knowledge so you don't get electrocuted. So a prudent man, I will say this. If you look up the word, kind of a broad definition of it, a prudent person is somebody that's careful. Do you know people that just are not careful? I do. I've worked with people in construction work, and they weren't careful. I remember one time working in a motor starter, 480 volts. My job was to check every one of them. That's my job, check them all out. After it was all wired, I opened them up, take my meter and check the electric on every one of them, check every wire, make sure everything's right. And a guy comes up behind me, and I got my 9-inch Klein pliers in my pocket, and he starts goofing around. He's a welder. He's one of them. He's not that all welders this way, Brad, but he's one of those dumb animals, okay? He's pulling around my pocket, and I got my hands in there with high voltage. 480 volts, not something to play with. I said, you get away from me. You leave that alone. Hey, he's laughing at me, making fun of me. It wasn't 24 hours later. One of the guys in my crew, he was real close to him. He's his friend. And he got his screwdriver on one of those, and it wasn't even that much. And you talk about hearing it, it sounded like thunder. Some of you have heard it. He didn't goof around after that. But he was sort of like that way. I was told he had quite a few children, and he would pass people on the road, and I found out. It made me sad a few years later to find out that he got killed in an accident because he didn't have any wisdom. He'd pass people like this, and he's showing off, and people would be riding with him. I felt so sorry for him. He didn't have wisdom. A fool layeth open his folly. And especially this age, you got to be careful, do you not? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So we are commanded to gain knowledge, especially of God's word. In Proverbs 18 and 15, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. This is what we're talking about. A prudent person is a person that's careful enough that sometimes he can look down in the future and say, you know, this needs to be done. I can see some danger here. You probably have done that, right? We have prudent people. Whenever we have ice and snow, I think usually it's one of the elders. you know who they are. We just have to. And they'll throw something, calcium or salt on that. That's prudent. So people won't slide and get hurt. These rails, that's prudent. That's wisdom right there. The mailboxes Lewis made, that's wisdom. How much postage does that save? Yeah, I told you, wisdom is everywhere if you look for it. Our time is gone. We're finished with the first point. Proverbs 10:20 and verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. How many people in our society is hung up on seeking gold? You may have some investments in gold. That's up to you. The gold I got is the only gold I got right there on that finger. That's it. I don't care if I have another piece of gold the rest of my life, but that's just me. If you want that, it's all right. But it's better to be right with God. It's better to have wisdom. It's better to have prudence and to listen to instruction. Far better. I hope we'll think about this. Come back tonight, Lord willing, study about it. I don't claim to be all wise. The wisdom is in the book. God has all wisdom. So He has told us everything we need, everything to do with life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, we got it in God's book. He tells us there's something to do to get wisdom. There's something to do to be saved. Yes, you must have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Of course you have to have faith, but there are two kinds of faith. There's a faith that obeys and the faith that doesn't obey. Which one do you have? And the faith that obeys, it does what Jesus said. He said, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's pretty simple. On the day of Pentecost, the first time you read about the church being established, because the Lord added to the church, Acts 2 and 47, and on that day, when the church was established, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, how important is that? So if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you're an erring child of God, you need to come back. Please, if we can help you in any way, let us do it as we stand and as we sing.